Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So to begin today, once again, I'd like to start with the moral outrage story of the day. That is, Pentagon investigates video of U.S. soldiers shooting an Afghan civilian. Now, first of all, like I've said last time, this is a very important story, and it's not that it's not real or that it's not important, but there's a whole effort recently to really push these moral outrage stories to the front of the news, when in reality, they're more meant to distract you from what's really going on. Now, a leaked helmet camera video out of Afghanistan shows a UF soldier shooting an Afghan civilian driving a truck. Central Command issued a statement insisting that the video was, quote, not authorized, and that the shooting of the civilian vehicle was not in keeping with engagement policies for ground troops there. General Joseph Votel of CENTCOM Chief said that he'd seen the video, saying he was extremely disappointed by it and promised to get to the bottom of it and take appropriate measures against whoever was involved. So that's the end of it then, right? Usually not. The bottom line is we probably hear nothing more of this and never really know if anybody's ever actually held accountable here. But really, the reason I'm bringing this up to start is the larger issue is that right now, today, the U.S. government kills civilians in Afghanistan on a regular, seemingly indiscriminate basis. But let's focus on this one issue that makes it seem like something like this never happens. And, you know, they're going to get to the bottom of it, right? And that's kind of the ridiculousness of it all. I mean, to focus on this, I honestly think that's why this issue was pushed to the front, is to make it seem like this is something that never happens. And the one time they find out, oh, they're going to get to the bottom of it and, to, you know, not let us know at the end of the day. The point is that this is really, and I really do think this is overall almost probably leaked on purpose to kind of make it seem like they're trying to crack down on it. But really, what this is happening on a daily basis at the behest of the United States government. So in my opinion, this is the moral outrage story of the day. And the last ones we discussed yesterday are still dominating the headlines. Right now on CNN and MSNBC, I mean, that's the top story. With everything else going on in the world, they're talking about Donald Trump and Haiti, and even some of them talking about that woman that got pushed out of the hospital. And again, those are important stories that should be discussed to some degree, but not the top leading headline. And as well as the story about Donald Trump and some prostitute. I mean, these stories, again, they have their place in the news feed, but to be the top headline stories, it really shows you where their focus lies. And it's really not with your best interest. So getting into the stories from yesterday, headline, Russia says it knows who ordered the mysterious drone attack on their base, and it wasn't Turkey. Now, this is a story that we've covered quite a bit, and there's another story today that we're going to discuss as well. But really what we're finding out here, and kind of like we were saying recently, and now I'm willing to openly say that this was a false flag operation. This was an attempt to manipulate the story and really manipulate the relations between Russia and its allies. As Putin himself said, recent attacks on the airbase in Syria were a provocation aimed at undermining the country's relations with its partners, Turkey and Iran, and peaceful settlement of the Syrian crisis. We know when and where those unmanned aerial vehicles were handed over and how many there were, he said. Those aircrafts were only camouflaged, I want to emphasize this, to look like handicraft production. In fact, it was quite obvious that there were elements of high-tech nature there. So this is very interesting, and I'm sure we're going to see more of this develop and actually the information likely released, I would imagine on a larger scale, maybe at the UN. But what we're finding out is that these things were, that this was a false flag operation. This was meant to look like some kind of Syrian rebel attack, when in reality, there was a larger force behind this. And it seems very clear, especially we know that the spy plane of the United States was flying over right at the same time. There's a lot of things that implicate the U.S. government in this and just Western powers in general. We also discussed Israel's motive behind this and how they're openly attacking Syria. So there's a lot behind this. But now we're finding out that Putin is openly talking about how he knows that this was not the Syrian rebels and that this was an attempt to manipulate his relations with Turkey and Iran. That's a very big deal. Moving on to more news from today, another update on the recent Russian attacks. Russian special forces eliminate militants behind Syrian airbase attacks. The Russian military announced it tracked down and eliminated a group of rebels involved in attacks on Russia's main base in Syria. The New Year's Eve attack was carried out by a small squad of insurgents armed with mortars who were able to kill two Russian servicemen while damaging up to seven aircraft at the Russian airbase. This was followed by a January 6 coordinated attack on the base involving 13 heavily armed drones, which we've covered quite extensively. Putin himself said the militants must have had outside help or state sponsorship, given the sophistication of the operation and presence of advanced satellite and weaponry technology. Simultaneous to the recent operation, defense officials said Russian artillery targeted and destroyed a drone assembly plant and storage depot in nearby Al-Qaeda-controlled Idlib. believed to have possibly been part of the January 6th attacks. Both groups, suspected to be involved, though blacklisted as terror organizations by the Pentagon themselves, have in fact received direct and indirect assistance by the CIA and allied intelligence services at various points over the course of this war. And as we recently reported, Putin said himself, "We know who they were and how much they paid for that provocation," and claims to be in possession of evidence demonstrating the rebels had outside help. So this is just one step further from the story we just reported on from yesterday and showing that they are taking action here. And they're making it seem as if they have actual evidence of who was involved. So this is a story we're going to continue to keep track of, and we're going to bring you the breaking news. And again, this just goes back to the idea that this is not a new thing. We have seen false flag attempts and PSYOP attempts throughout our own history of this country. And it's something, and we should also note that it's not just a U.S. thing. This is something that is historically documented through all governments. And we always try to make that point that governments in general are the problem today, in my opinion. But what we're focusing on today was seemingly an attempt of the U.S. government to manipulate these relations. And now Russia is actually taking action. So this is, like we said recently, this is what we're going to continue to see, this kind of proxy war back and forth, without any real tangible proof. And it does seem like Russia's saying they have proof, but without something to present to the world, it's going to continue to be a back and forth of proxy efforts. Moving on to the next story coming out of activistpost.com, Kentucky committee passes bill that would place limits on drones, thwart federal surveillance program. On Wednesday, a Kentucky House committee approved a bill that would require police to get a warrant before engaging in drone surveillance in most situations. Final passage of this legislation would not only establish important privacy protections at the state level, it would also help thwart the federal surveillance state. The legislation would prohibit the use of a drone for a search unless authorized under the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution and Section 10 of the Kentucky Constitution. So ultimately, that means it would require a warrant, which we already know today is something they can easily sidestep, but it's an important step. The proposed law would only apply to state and local drone use. Again, that's something that it's local, but it's a good place to start. And it shows you that Kentucky specifically is really trying to take action against this larger surveillance state. Now, a similar bill passed the Kentucky House during the 2017 session, but never made it to the Senate state floor for a vote. So this kind of makes it seem like it's probably going to see the same thing happen here. But again, it's important to note on the fact that there are people within state legislatures that are trying to stop this thing from happening. Just really speaks to the larger agenda at play here that the people don't want the surveillance state to grow. The federal government does. And it shows you that it really doesn't matter what the people think anymore. And it's also important to understand that much of the funding for drones at the state and local level comes from the federal government themselves, and in and of itself is a constitutional violation. In return, federal agencies tap into the information gathered by state and local law enforcement through fusion centers and a federal program known as the Information Sharing Environment. HB 22 will now move to the full House for further consideration. If you live in Kentucky, contact your House member and ask them to vote yes on HB 22. This is something I hope we see happening all across the states. And again, the larger point here is to understand that the growing surveillance state is something that is pretty broadly disagreed upon by most Americans, yet it doesn't matter. It's continuing to grow under this vague, broad understanding of some kind of a protection measure to something that we seem to not be able to stop in general anyway. So, it's also important to understand that these drone programs have been verifiably being used against Americans to spy on Americans and collect data on Americans. And this did start under Obama, but it's been carried out through everybody else. It's really something that goes beyond party lines. That's important to understand. So moving on to the next story coming out of the antimedia.org, FBI issues urgent warning about, quote, evil geniuses threatening public safety. The FBI, which wants to be able to access any data off any device today and considers encryption they can't break as urgent public safety issue, it seems that FBI officials have been so desperate to vilify the idea of personal data encryption that they are using increasingly extreme rhetoric, with forensic expert Stephen Flatley recently referring to Apple Computer as evil geniuses for making it harder to break into their devices. Flatley went on to complain that Apple was deliberately trying to thwart law enforcement, suggesting that they are jerks for having done so. Behind the FBI being mad, it's not clear what they propose to do. They want to have absolute unfettered access to Americans' data at a moment's notice, but encryption makes that completely impossible. And this is something that, this is a growing issue, and it's something that people are beginning to try to take personal actions to stop. But it really just comes back to the larger issue of whether or not the FBI has a right to your personal data. And it's all under this broad umbrella of security. And I always go back to the idea of liberty versus security. And, you know, the classic idea that if you exchange one for the other, you deserve neither. And it's something that we need to continue to hold on to. It's these classic constitutional ideas that are quickly eroding under this continued guise of protection from intangible ideas of terror across the world, which we've shown in the past are verifiably created, funded, and trained by the same people trying to protect us from them. So this is just something very interesting, and I really hope that we see these companies continue to hold out. But you could also argue that Apple in and of itself is already connected to these entities, and maybe this is all a big facade. But like we always say, we should continue to put our money towards things that actually take a stance against this. That's why I like seeing some of these new crypto companies coming out to talking about these anonymous ideas and decentralization and getting away from the idea that they even play a factor in this. But use your consumer power and make sure you buy the things that take a stand against this kind of manipulation. Speaking of the FBI and whether we should trust them or if they even have our best interest in mind, next article entitled DOJ Unseals Indictment Involving Uranium One Scandal. The Department of Justice unsealed an 11-count indictment on Friday to a former DOD intelligence analyst turned uranium transportation executive who stands accused of a bribery and money laundering scheme involving a Russian nuclear official connected to the Uranium One deal. Mark Lambert was charged with one count of conspiracy to violate the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act and to commit wire fraud, seven counts of violating the FCPA, two counts of wire fraud, and one count of international promotion money laundering. Based on what the FBI knew, including evidence which purportedly involves a video of Russians preparing briefcases of bribe money, the Uranium One deal never should have gone through. Moreover, both Robert Mueller and current Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein was directly involved, and current Attorney General Jeff Sessions and other Justice Department officials appear to be covering for them. In short, the FBI had ample evidence of the Russian bribery plot before the Obama administration approved the Uranium One deal, thanks to their embedded mole in the Russian nuclear industry. In addition, the informant, outed as energy consultant William Campbell, was threatened by the Obama admin AG Loretta Lynch to keep quiet with an ironclad gag order, according to his attorney, which was later lifted. But this just really goes into the larger idea of understanding how truly and deeply corrupt the FBI and the United States government is. And again, all governments, as far as I'm concerned, but this story is particularly focused on the U.S. government. But we're talking about a broad idea here, from Obama to Trump's administration, Sessions himself, people manipulating what's happening here to hide the greater truth. And I would argue that that greater truth is the idea that this corruption stems through the entirety of the government today. And it's really, we have to begin to think past left, right, Republican, Democrat. This is something that goes well beyond that idea. But it's so great to finally see this stuff start coming out, because clearly this is a story that's been suppressed and hidden from the very beginning while they focus kind of unanimously on one aspect today. And it seems to be something that they can't even prove. But I still argue that regardless of what we see here, the main culprit we should be focusing on is Hillary Clinton and the Clintons in general. And I argue that we're not going to see that ever come to pass. I honestly think that in a lot of ways, this is probably just that they've realized that too much attention has come around the story, so they're trying to throw someone under the bus. So we have to hope that we see the real culprits, the real people behind this, actually be held accountable. But now we're seeing that Mueller himself and Jeff Sessions are involved in this and are coming. And you could argue that they're today kind of seeming on opposite sides of this battle, yet they're seeming to work together with this story. There's a lot of corruption involved here. And that's the real point to take away. This corruption is deeply seated in the government and all of the things we talk about. And we have to begin to look past the false party, the false two-party paradigm that is forced down our throats. Divide and conquer is active in everything they do today. We have to begin to see that. So for more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out The Last American Vagabond or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.